Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for love, mercy, and grace extended this time, Lord, knowing it's a very special grace and mercy at this hour in which you said that the conditions were such that you would come and destroy all, but Lord, you sent us a messenger, your ordained messenger, your prophet, when we found truth and grace in your sight. So, Father, we pray we shall not ever use it unwittingly or even in any manner which is wrong, Lord, but just in humility and love, Lord, and learning to get out of the way, your word might dwell in us richly and come to us. Now, Father, we ourselves can contribute nothing to this service, but we do have bodies, we have minds and ears, lips, and tongue, faculties, Lord, that are given to us in the natural. We pray tonight that you'll take them and may they become spiritual, so that your name might be glorified, Lord, your name might be honored, and we blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we read from page 45 of the Pilgrim where we left off at, I want to sort of bring some information on what was kind of garble last Sunday when I referred to the body as being made up of three parts. Of course, it's your body, it's your, physically speaking, our, the limbs, the trunk, and the head. And, of course, it is three parts also, body, soul, and spirit, but it's physically thus too. But in the mystical body of Christ, which is the bride, which we are also referring to, her body of itself does not possess a head, for her head is Christ. Thus the bride body, which is forming, consists of two parts, which are trunk and limbs. Now that's, we're talking of the physical. Sure, she has a head, but her head is Christ, and he's not, or was not here previously. So the physical was being brought up into manifestation over the seven church ages, and actually there were only two parts of the body, but you must remember now that when you're talking about the body of the bride, it's not just a human figure that you're speaking of, but the bride is described as a pyramidal city. So Brother Branham drew all the time the bride in seven ages as a pyramidal structure, as a pyramid. Now, the pyramid, according to Brother Branham, is waiting the capstone, which comes down on the pyramid and will complete it. Now, notice carefully, he described a certain part that is not really a part of the pyramid per se, and would not even have to be there, and we're talking of the physical pyramid that Enoch built, would not even have to be there if the capstone had been placed on the pyramid as a continuing building process in its making. Now, as I say, just give you a repeat on that, that Brother Brown spoke of a certain part that was there on the pyramid, which was actually not a part of the pyramid itself, but it was put there. And it would not have been put there on that pyramid had the process of building that pyramid gone on. The capstone then would have just simply set upon that building. Now maybe we just draw that out. I don't know how, I'm not very good at this, but that's all right. Not very good at pulling the curtain either. I guess there's a little bit of a problem here, haven't we? All right. Now, you mention here that we have a pyramid, and I won't make that too big, it's not a very good pyramid, and put a capstone, well, should be as wide there. Anyway, now, see, this pyramid here physically was built by Enoch, and you'll notice it's squared off at the top. There's the cap, which would have been put on, it had the pyramid been meant to have a capstone, would have been on there, and this thing up here would not be here. Now, what is that? That's what he called a flange. Now, a flange was put up there to keep out the rain and the dirt and anything per se that was not a part of the designer plan. All right, now, you see, the designer plan was to bring up a pyramid this far, and there was nothing to be in here outside the designer plan. Nothing whatsoever. See, that's why you don't find bodies and everything else in there like they kind of think they're supposed to be. What it is what Enoch built concerning the Bible in stone, prophetic for the future. So to keep everything out of there, you know, they put that flange on top of it. Now, but when was the flange placed there? Now, we're talking of the flange that Brother Branham spoke of on the pyramid, and it's likened to a bride, and the bride likened to a pyramid. So there's got to be a flange or something at this hour, what we're speaking of. Now, at no time could it be there except at the end, when the capstone would be placed there to finish it all off. Now, what I'm saying is here, in the spiritual, it went up in seven distinct steps. Now, you couldn't have a flange down here, because, see, that wasn't high enough. And you couldn't have a flange here. How many about this? Two, three, four, five. Well, you know, this is about seven ages. So you couldn't have it down here, you couldn't have it here, you couldn't have it here. There's only one place you could come into complete correlation with that pyramid, and that would be just at the place where the capstone could fit down. Now you see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, the flange, as I understand what the prophet said, was a ministry so perfectly one with Christ that the headstone would fit right down in it. So, before the headstone could come down, see, now remember the headstone is up here, and I'll just show you a little better picture of it, see, like, we get a little better view here. That's not good either. But it's all right. See, coming from him, in as the Holy Spirit coming down, and through the Word of God, living Word of God for every age, through the seven church age messengers, the seven eyes, seven spirits, before the throne, whatever you want to say, it's all the same. This living Word coming down here, age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then, when it would appear time that the headstone would come down, everything pointing to it, the headstone could not come down until the time that a flange was there. See? Now, that flange is the perfect ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would indicate and vindicate that headstone, spiritually speaking, would be able to take his position as the Holy Spirit that started down here as a cornerstone. You see, cornerstone is not capstone. Well, it is actually capstone in the sense of what it is. Perfectly, they are the same, but they're not the same as I draw this, see? If the cornerstone rejected becomes a capstone. Now, what it's trying to say was that this is not the same as this. When it comes to, this is Alpha and that's Omega. Now you see, it fit here perfectly. Now this wouldn't fit up there and that wouldn't fit down here. So he's the same yesterday, day, and forever. But you got to understand that though he never changes, essentially, he plays those roles in different manners, under different conditions. So this here is the same as this. And the light that's coming down here is building up, see? The light coming down, building up and building up, building up, until it's all down here, and this is supposed to come down, but there's a flange there, see? Now you say, well, how do I know, because it's in the realm of the Spirit, how will I know if the headstone's come down? Because there'll be a flange, as Brother Branham said, a ministry so perfect, after the same ministry that he had when he was here in the flesh, that you will know that this is that one that descends him with the shout, the voice of the archangel, trumpet of God, and so on. Now, of course, we believe the message, so we follow and understand what we're seeing here. So, we see then the headstone himself could sit right down upon that, as being as this could come down upon that. And as this then would be here, this last bunch up here at the top would sort of be like the whole thing in the flange up here, would be that very perfect ministry. Bringing that capstone down. We'll get a little more into that later on. Now, so I'm presenting to you this thought. From June 11, 1933 to March 18, 1963, we got dates, you see, we have God and the prophet bringing through a vindicated ministry the very flange we talk about And this we'll designate this as the presence and appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to the prophet, and to him alone, making this Malachi chapter 4 in completion from the God and his prophet viewpoint. Now you understand what I'm saying there. We're talking about presenting that from June 11th, that's when he appeared in the river down 1933, to March 18, opening of the seals. I'm not taking it back, I'm taking it back to the angelic visitation here. March, right there, and the opening of the seals. We have God and the prophet, and I'll tell you a little later why we put in that place there. We have God and the prophet bringing, through a vindicated ministry, the very plans we talk about, and this I'll designate as the presence and appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to the prophet, and with him alone, now dealing with the prophet alone, though it's coming to us, God is not dealing with the body, he's dealing with an individual for the body. So, see what I'm saying? Making this Malachi chapter 4 completely from the viewpoint of God and his prophet. That is, in the last days I'm going to come into struggle, and I'll leave neither root nor branch, showing that when judgment sets in, accord carries right on to the end of the millennium and right on to the lake of fire and annihilation. So you see, you're finishing a complete era and starting a completely new one. That's the viewpoint of the prophet, same time, or God and his prophet. At the same time, he said, I'll send Elijah the prophet, so I won't destroy utterly. You understand what I'm saying? There's a ministry here. It's from that viewpoint. All right. Now, to see the chronology of it all, I'll present this to you. On March 18, 63, the Lord Jesus Christ, still in the form of the Holy Spirit, comes down as living word Logos with the shout to the bride. Now you see, we're bringing this in now into a deeper manifestation of we're coming to headship. Now you see, at this particular time, the Holy Spirit's down, but he's not taking his headship. He's showing exactly who he is under the conditions that he presented so that she will know her groom, the Word. And in that revelation, coming down from heaven, one foot on land and sea, that's the time he's taking headship over a bride. And he's appearing to her in that particular sense. Now, not now appearing to the prophet for his ministry alone, but to take his position to the bride. The capstone has to fit on the flange, and this is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. You'll notice right there in Revelation 10, 1 to 7, we'll just look at it. It said, I saw another mighty messenger come down in heaven, clothed with a cloud, rainbow on his head, and there's only one got the rainbow. That's the Holy Spirit that's sitting on the throne. That's God. His face that were the sun, feet as pillars of fire, and his right hand he had a little book. His hand he had a little book open, he sat and his right foot upon the sea, and his left upon the earth. Now remember, the one took the book out of the hand of the Lamb. Now remember, the book was open in heaven and came down here. cries a loud voice when a lion roars. Didn't say a lion did roar, it says as when a lion roars. So it says the lion will roar later on. That's Amos tells you. When the lion roars, you know, that's God speaking. All right, when he cried, seven thunders of the voice. Now, where was that? That's on earth, not in heaven. See? So therefore, the revelation that was in silence in heaven is broken down here on earth. The seven thunders of the voice, I was about to write and heard a voice in heaven saying, and he sealed up those things, the seven thunders of the right and not. And the messenger I saw stand upon the scene upon the earth, therefore he turned to heaven and swear by himself, and only God can swear by himself. Who created heaven and things that there are in are on the earth and the things that there in are in the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared his servants the prophet. Now it tells you right there that this messenger that's on earth is here when this mighty one comes down to earth from heaven. So they are both upon earth. Now that's the descent of the shout. That's First Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, as well as is this one in Revelation here. Now, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, and remember, this one, the prophet, is the voice of Almighty God. Remember when God said to Moses, you will be God to Aaron, and he will be your mouth. We'll get into some of those things, perhaps. All right, now, in the days of this person on earth, which is the seventh church age messenger, he will be a prophet, because it says the mystery of God should be finished. That's consummated, completed, as God had declared the good news of his gospel to his servants, the prophets. And there's only one person that would ever know what God really said to a prophet and how he said it, why he said it, and the reason he said it, and the interpretation would be a prophet. There'd be nobody else could get it. Now, then what would the flange be then to a body? Okay, I'm not very good at drawing bodies, but we might, you know, take a little crack at it here. You know, just towards your nice square shoulders and nice square arms coming down. Kind of thin for that type of person, isn't it? Okay, that's about as far as we need to go. Okay, now we got a body, let's see. Cut him off down here. And what would be a flange for headship? Well, quite simple. Be a neck, wouldn't it? Now, you don't notice that people ever talk too much about those things. But that would have to be where your flange comes. See, it would come right in this area here. All right, it would be the neck. So let's just take a little peek at Scripture here. Go to the Songs of Solomon, and the fourth chapter, and the fourth verse. Now here he said, Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou art dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appeared in Mount Gilead. Now this is the bridegroom speaking to the bride. And then down the fourth verse, thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory. A neck like an armory? Whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Yeah, that's awful stupid. You don't have a neck you hang a bunch of armor on. The armor's put in a hall in a building. So this is strictly spiritual. Now he said it's an armory. That's the place where all the armory is, like you know the Bible said, be clothed with the armor of God, put on the full armor. And it says in here that it's a tower like David built it. Who is David? He was the prophet king. Of whom his feet is Jesus. And then whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. What did Brother Branham have in his vision? Shields, the armor, the buckles. What are the thousands of men? What the bride has relied upon through all ages is this word that came down from here and came up. And now at the end time, there's a flange on it to keep everything out that doesn't belong in there. See? So you've got this interim period here, which is in the seventh church age, but it's not Laodicean. But it's bride age, the move on for the bride. You've got a very, very special thing here at the end time. Now notice, we'll talk more about it. The neck is what we call this part of the anatomy from the exterior. Anatomically, the exterior is called the neck. And the bride is therefore now all beautiful without as well as within. As it says in Songs of Solomon 4, and I guess it's verse 9 maybe, watch what the bridegroom says. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. That's right. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with the chain, one chain of thy neck. Now, what's she doing? She's looking to him, and her throat is girded, her testimony visible with the word of God, because gold is faith tried in the fire, which is the revealed word that you suffer and die for if necessary. Now she's girded with that. So you can see all this armory and this great tower of David is the word of the living God. And it's all brought up, all this revealed faith is brought up as a chain around her neck, because she alone possesses the full revelation and couldn't have it outside of this period in here with the God and his prophet situation. All right. And he just, here then in Solomon's Song 4:9, it mentions a golden chain on the bride's neck, it sets the groom into an ecstasy of love. And that's what he answers to. He won't answer to gifts. He won't answer to sensation. He won't answer to anything the world looks for. The answer is only to revealed word, which is pure faith. Gold positions her, her real revealed faith, so she is a word bride and she is perfectly beautiful. However, when you talk of the word neck, you don't talk of that internally. You talk of the throat as being internal. The neck is external, the throat is internal. And it's an anatomical description then of the inside of the neck. Now let's just look at that throat, and it's not a very pretty picture in the natural. We go to the fifth psalm, which is also found in the book of Romans, which I don't think we'll necessarily look at. Now, it says here, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I'll look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all work of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, and the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, now fear, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make my way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Now, you see, destroy them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out of the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Notice in their open sepulcher, their fat tongue, under their lips, as Romans says, is the poison of asps, and so on. Now, you'll notice what the throat of the world church is doing is speaking through from what is inside. They're speaking from what is inside denomination. But the bride here, the throat speaking, will speak what comes up as light, and the plans will stop any deterioration. Whereas this had a problem and deteriorated, there will be no deterioration. There's a perfect perfection there. Now, we'll go a little further here. Now, I want you to notice very carefully that the voice box is in the throat and not the head. Now, let me put a head up here if you like. Now, you notice though the mouth enunciates words and there are tonal effects from here, if there's no voice box, there's no speaking. See, the voice box or the actual place where the voice is in the throat. This is number one, God with the prophet and in the prophet. So up in here comes God in the prophet or the headship, see, the headship here, coming down will speak to a prophet. As it says in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, it is not said to be the voice of the Lord himself. And it is not. And when it says that one that speaketh from heaven, that did speak upon earth, will speak upon earth, and you notice it's the thunders that are upon earth. So Hebrews 12 and Revelation 10 is one and the same thing. That's easy understood. Now, then, number one, speaking of the throat here. God with the prophet, in the prophet, or the word in the prophet. And now, number two, the voice or word has come to the bride. For the prophet is gone, but not the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit. The pillar of fire will lead us, as the prophet said, into the millennium. And since the flange and headship, now we've got the flange and the headship, the pure word of God is in the bride, and she will not denominate or fall by creeds or take the lie, as said in 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, but is in the light, which fulfills 1 John, if you walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. It also fulfills, they without us cannot be made perfect. See? Because look, it's appointed unto man once to die and after that judgment. Why? Because sin. These people have died down here. But this bride doesn't die. They're going to have to come out of the ground. But these will not go into the ground. So there's got to be immortality come to them. How's it going to come? It's going to come this way. Why?
Because if they went off the word back there, if they ever get onto the word the way they should, they stretch forth their hand and walk into eternal life. Because that's what God stopped Adam from doing. Because they weren't fit for it. They could live forever. So it shows you that there's a place that man was already ordained to in the economy of God, that he was to become immortal. See? And this is that hour here. And you notice because the flange, the way it's set up, the head up here now, the flange, the whole thing, the whole body now becomes perfect. And they without us cannot be made perfect, Brother Van said, and they're waiting for this message and this bride to raise the dead. Because without that up here, they could not come up. See? Because they went off. This bride does not go off. Now that's what we want to look at and keep that in mind. Also, we are also in 1 Corinthians 13 that tells you that which is perfect has come. And who is perfect but God? And who is God but the Word? The Logos come down. And the life that wrote this book has now fulfilled it for this hour, proving that He is the life, and He is the life that wrote this Word, and now making this Word live. And the Word of the hour, of course, is where Satan came and tricked Eve. And he said, no, you won't surely die. Now the tables are turned on the devil, because now Christ comes on the scene, and he said, you surely won't die, and we won't die. Now I might die because I'm getting up there where death is more than possible. There's a lot of young folks sitting here too. You could die by tomorrow morning. We don't know who's going to die. But we do know there's going to be a people standing here. See? So, now that brings us back to actually the blood, and I want to explain what I got in mind there. Let me see. Now we can take and and here's the lintel, and here's your doorpost. And here we are here. Now I noticed the more ancient drawings where sometimes they sort of slanted that. Whoops. Those doors. Now if that's the case, they would eventually then form the pyramid. But you see they put that flange across the top there too. And you'll notice that different houses were made that way. Well, here's a door here, and here's a little dwelling here that's kind of like they had way back in ancient times. I don't know why they got them this way, but they had these little parapets up there, and here's the door. Okay, now you'll notice the Bible says that they're there. Let's go back and take a look at Exodus 12 here. Maybe we can just read that. Not too good a preacher, and I'm a far worse artist. Now, he said here, verse 7, they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the houses wherein you shall eat it. Now, I guess the thought pertaining to this subject on striking with blood means a splotch here and a splotch here and a splotch there. I'm not convinced that that's right. Because we're running our types all the way through, and we're talking about a bride, a human figure, we're talking about a pyramid, and the thing's going to run in continuity to get our types. I would believe that what you got is this. See, what they did, they painted. You don't get much stink from a little dab of blood. Brother Brand said it was going to stink. So, what we're looking at here is essentially, because, as I say, I've seen the old pictures, that the doors were usually slanted. See? So, we're just taking, draw kind of a slant up like this here, showing that eventually we would taper off there. See? Now, the blood, because there was life in it and was shed, you have actually, life promised and indicated until such a time that the Son would come. See? And shed His blood. See? That coming up. All the way through. Now, over here, in a true pyramid, you've got not blood coming up, but you've got the light coming up. See? all the way here to, and from the source of life until it comes to the life giving himself. The giver of life. Right up there. Now, when you refer to the human body, you have a circulatory system. See? You got the same thing? Because this which was shed from here has got to come back up. And it comes up until the giver of life himself comes down upon the scene. So, we look at this picture then. The life shed out of the blood gives the perfect redemption. The life that was in the blood here gave these people a perfect redemption, looking forward to the Son coming. Now, the blood shed from Eden up until the time of Jesus Christ was the token of redemption until the Redeemer life, Christ our life, came, and he came in human form. Now the life has come up through the bride until we come to the very source of life itself. You see? If it's going to fall in continuity, it's got to do the same thing. Because if the blood, which was the source of life, it wasn't life itself, brought you to him who is life, who shed his life, the life then will bring you to the life. Now see, a lot of people get all mixed up. They get all mixed up, but like they think the little tiny bit of here's God. All life. Here's a little fella down here. Oh, he's a pipsqueak. Right just here. And so the blood comes in and kind of works all through here, covering it. And he gets one little bit of life. Now, is that that? Well, there's no more fullness of God in this man than the turnip, almost. A little more than the turnip, but that, I'm not going to go too far. Because look, that's ridiculous. How can anybody be so carnal-minded in their thinking of the things of Almighty God? See, so it brings us to the very source of life himself. Now, the source of life is not the human body. See? No, the source, it was not. The life created that body. Brought itself into a body. But the life was distinct from the body. Always was. Not a distinction like you might want to put too far removed. There's a relationship, certainly. But you got to remember, that body was a long time in getting here. And God's eternal. So what we're seeing now then, is in every area, we're seeing a picture and type of coming to a headship. And since the headship is in the Holy Spirit, there's got to be a headship before the bride gets away. That's why the Lord descends with a shout, which is a message, puts himself the head of the church, which he has now done, in order to raise the dead. And the dead will be raised when the bride reaches a state of the perfection that God wants in her, if it's only 10 people. You never look for big congregations. Well, we all trust we're all apart, but it doesn't necessarily mean we are. We all by faith believe that we are. Now, so having cleared up what I sort of rambled on Sunday and got you a little bit confused on, we'll go back now to the page. It's page 45. We'll start reading again in the book. And we've gone through about 35 minutes. Mine. Remember the covenant blood. The covenant blood is not recognized without the token. You cannot say, well, I've been sanctified from things. A lot of people, you know, have lived sanctified lives, separated lives. And it doesn't mean that they're born again. That is not the token. The Spirit is the token. The Spirit of Christ upon you. That's called the epibaptism. Believe it. Now look, the Word assures us of a promise. All of these are texts I've set down here. Just keep on preaching all day. It looks like on this team. The Word assures us of a promise because it is the promise. What is the promise? The Word is the promise. The Word is the promise, and the Word is God, and the Word is ours. Now, he's talking of the present day reality, that there is a promise. That word here is a promise. It was written many, many years ago for this very hour. And the Word is God. Now, the Word is not God per se, except in a printed form. It is a mechanized revelation. It's not dynamite. And the Word is ours. So God himself comes on the scene and is Logos. Indicates, vindicates. And then the life that you see manifested. and know to be there. That's what you have to have. See? And there's a promise for it. Now, the people don't believe that. See? The word fulfilled is simply the word manifested. And the word fulfilled is simply God manifested. And if God is manifested, the question comes, what does God want of me? He wants you to receive the token. He's warning you. He's admonishing you. He's showing you that the token is the must. All right. We become the Word, and the Word becomes us. Now, you don't become Logos per se. You're just a little part of Logos. But this here, the Word of the hour, which has been revealed, you and I become. Now, that's not too vague. John the Baptist could have said, I am the Word of God manifested in human flesh. Who are you, John? Well, he said, I'm Isaiah 40. Also Malachi 3. Part of Malachi 4. What does that mean? Well, he said, I am the living Word of God. Now, the prophet is the living Word of God manifested, and consequently, every person in his own little place is also a little bit of the living Word of God manifested. You become the Word, the promise of that hour. Just like under Luther, justification. Under Wesley, sanctification. Under Pentecost, restoration and gift. Now, we don't bypass those and say they're nothing. We admit that they're there. But there's something else that's come on today, which is the Word of eternal life or immortality. We're in a different category. And we are that Word. Now, watch. If you abide in me and my Word in you. Well, that's simple as ABC. If you've got that seed in you, I don't care if it's a pumpkin seed, but you could supersede that pumpkin seed life with a fig life. That pumpkin, so-called, would have to bring forth figs. But you see, that's what you're looking at here. We may be human beings, which we are, but that Word in us now is going to come forth according to the promise that God set forth in this hour. Now, we become the Word becomes us. You abide in me, my Word in you. Then it just becomes one great big family. This great big family here. And the people themselves become one family. Now, they never had the family back in the first age like they would have the family in this age. Now, notice in the first age, they brought all their goods together and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they had a squabble. Brought a squabble on right off the bat. Some people said, well, I put a lot in the pot here. I'm not getting much back. Well, if that's what you put it in for, you shouldn't have put it in the first place. Just kept it. You have your own chicken, make your own chicken soup, and put your noodles in. You got it made. See, but they didn't do it. Now, they never had the family relationship that this is promised to this bride. And that's our goal. And that's a goal that's to be aspired to in this church. See, like Brother Branham said, us Branhams, he said, we fight in the backyard. He said, but don't you, from the front yard, he said, we don't fight. Well, that's pretty good thinking. And he said, we'll be tied. The person comes in and tries to join in the fight. You know, that's the quickest way in the world of getting that with the cops. Never like him in the place where husband and wife are fighting, because first thing off, the poor cop is in there, and he's getting his head bust into the 2x4 or something else. The wife decides to pour scalding water in him because she grabbed her husband's arm. He's going to bust your neck and she's going to bust his nose. It's trauma. It's the thing. You stand back and watch him. That's the world. And I'm not saying the church should be that way, but I'm just giving you a picture. Fighting in the backyard, fighting in the front yard. They don't fight in the front yard, see? See? All right. A big family. Now, he said, then it just becomes one great big family. It assures us because why? He simply means that house is so. Why? It is a part of us. It becomes part of us. What a text. All right, assures us of a promise. The token is a sign that the purchase has been made and has been accepted. That's true. Now you can't get the token from the railroad company unless you pay the fare. And you know that the way you're going to pay the fare price, just pay it. That's right. What? That means how do you pay it? Believe it and accept it. Now there's the big trick right there that people don't understand us without sensation. See, how often did Brother Branham tell that to the people? And they couldn't accept it. Give me some kind of a sign. Like a fellow who was preaching, he preached first of all that love was the evidence. And so a man out west in Tucumcari said, well, brother, he said,
He said, that's not what the prophet said. Well, you mean what? If the prophet said the evidence was not love, he didn't teach it anymore. He says, believing the word. So when we got to talking one day with this man, he denied it, and he said to me, well, he said, you see, I just teach you've got to have some evidence for yourself. Well, if you've got to have some evidence for yourself apart from God, hi, Sister Eve, drop dead. Go take the devil's line. Go get your own evidence. Find out for yourself whether God told the truth or not. Sure. You know, I'm going to tell you something. This is the one reason I bristle on this thing called love, which is no more love than a dead horse. It's just sweet, sickening lies. Eve was not raped. She was seduced. Her eyes were open, and she saw the deuce, which is the devil. Caught you on that, didn't you? Give him the deuce, and he's giving the devil. I know those old words. If you don't, come from the old-time school. He was flattered into it. And confidentially, she loved every minute and got her husband doing it, too. You'll never get people to believe that. Forget it. Forget I even preached it. All right. Full obedience to the full word of God will entitle you to the token. Full obedience. What's full obedience? Well, everything you understand from what the prophet gave us. From vindication. So what am I, church? Never mind your church. Listen. Full obedience. Not part of it as far as your denomination goes, but all of it. You don't argue anymore who's right. This is right. Amen. See? Full obedience to the word which is Christ brings you into Christ. Well, what if you only got the place where you recognize that's God? Well, it's all you need at that point. Go on from there. That's your start. You say, I know that's God. Many a man stood in Brother Brown's meetings and knew that was God. Not the person himself, but knew God was there. How he was there, they didn't know. How much did Brother Branham didn't know? What all they didn't know, but they knew God. It had to be God. That's the start. Then, that being the start, where did he take you to get the Holy Ghost? We'll read that in page 46 or so. Just keep reading now. Now, what if you were all in but your feet hanging out? In other words, say, well, hey, I believe that, but my denomination says no such thing. Well, that's just one little point. That's just enough to destroy the whole thing. You know, it doesn't say the dead horse in the slough spoils the apothecary's ointment. It says a little flying apothecary's ointment. It's those little things, the little one-worders. Thou shalt not die, but she did. Took all of us with her, too. What if you're all in but your hand hanging up? Most all in but your heart hanging up. The heart's in the world yet, see? But we don't do that. Now, full, complete obedience puts you in the word one. You believe it every bit. And all of it is in you, and you watch it working through you. Well, you believe all that, what's it going to do? It's going to bring you exactly where it brought that first bunch on the day of Pentecost. They didn't know for giddens what was going on. But they sure knew something was going on. And those that said, this is God, said, what must we do? Full obedience. Full obedience is not you knowing every single word, then you getting the Holy Ghost. Doing every single thing God wants you, you getting the Holy Ghost. It's you doing exactly what you're supposed to do at that time gets you the Holy Ghost. From that time, it's onward, upward, upward, up, filling, 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 filling. Moving on. What did they do at the day of Pentecost? You show me the steps they went through. We'll get to just a minute. You'll see here. You watch, and then he said, you believe it every bit. And all of it is in you, and you watch it working through you. And you watch what you receive at that point begin to work through you, and then the more that comes in, you watch it work through you in that. Now he said here, you don't go about with a bunch of carrying on. Now this is the baptized saint. Now brother, watch Brother Branham goes back and forth. This is the watch the carrying. No matter what anybody says, they'll never touch you. You're in Christ. You're as safe as you can be. When death knocks the door, it has no hold on you, not at all. Why? It's just stepping out of here into there. That's the dimension, see. Age doesn't mean a thing. You're passed from age. You're in eternity because you're in Him. He is eternal. Doesn't mean a thing whether you're old, young, middle-aged, or whatever you are, pretty, ugly, short, fat, what? Doesn't matter a thing. You don't go around and all these other things. You pass from that. You're dead. In other words, you struck reality. Now you're not all the way there. Way there. If we were all the way there by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and this is the thing that counts. In other words, you've got this perfect thing here in your life.
Why would he say the bride is awfully green, but she's got to lie in the presence of the sun to get ripened up, all dried up? So you watch, got to watch the language, what he's saying here. He said, you passed from that, you're dead, your life is hidden in God through Christ. You're sealed in there by the Holy Ghost, walking in Christ. The only object you see is Christ, that is right. That is all you want, oh my. That's why the bride had one eye single. Didn't talk about two eyes, she had one, the one eye was single. And the body's full of light when you got one eye. Why? Because you're looking at one object, looking at one source of light. And you're bound by the Word of God. No wonder you sing that song, Trim Over Every Day with Love. Now let me know, he said, watch here. Now he says, let me be your brother. Let me live the example of what Christ said a man should be. Let me be a brother to a brother to a sister, a minister to a minister. Let me be an example to examples. Let me show to the world that this Word is Christ. The only way I can do it is to come into Him, because I can't do it myself. You can't do it, but let the Word in you become one, then it lives itself. But what if you didn't have all that Word? You can only consciously be in that frame as you go through the filter of the Word. So what's he saying? He's talking just as he talked in the stature of perfect man. When you enter into this life, you've entered in to the end where you're coming into a bride, which is a super, super, super person, a personality. Now, the Word must come to the place where it lives itself out. Now, if you receive the Word, now let me go down here a little further. You are a walking epistle to Jesus Christ when He has got complete control of you to make every word. If He says, come this way, I want to do this, you say, no, I don't believe that. See, you're not in the world yet, see? Now, watch fully now. Full obedience to the whole Word of God entitles us to the token. Then when we pray, we must have the token present to present our prayer. We must have the token to present our prayer. If you say, I pray, Lord, but I really haven't, well, there you go. You just might as well stop. Go in first and get the token, see? Because the token is what you will recognize. Now, that's Romans 8. And when we pray, then we must present the token. Now, listen. Lord, I fully obeyed you. I repented of my sin. I feel you have forgiven me. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is upon me. Now, that's the full obedience. When he talks about the token. Then if you have the token, you begin to walk in light as he is in light. You see, if that isn't true, where would you find Luther? They never had the light to walk in that we have, but they had all the light they needed. What about Wesleyan? What about Pentecost? Now, Pentecost hasn't changed one iota from the time they had the real thing for this, for that age. See, they always were off the mark. Now, where are they today? There's nothing there. Where are you and I? The same process. Now, that's how I see this. Someone may see it different. If you do, that's fine. Then he said here, now I have need of a certain thing for your glory, Lord. I ask it, for it is mine now. In other words, he said, when you can come to God, you can come under the assurance of the Holy Spirit token. And you can say, Lord, I've got need of this thing, and if I get it, I'll use it for your glory. I have every right to it, because I have the token. I've got all the proof that I am a son, and you deal with us as sons. It is yours, see, then it's all over, it's settled. I ask for this, I ask for it, I must have it. I want it for your glory, then he just gives it to you. Then you know it is yours. That is the way it is with our children and so forth. We apply the blood, believe it, that is all. What's he talking about? What is that there again? He's back to how you receive the Holy Spirit. That's how I see this, what he's saying here, because you apply the blood. Now, nobody applies any blood. You accept by faith what was done for you through the blood. See, all right, what does he do then? When you can present the token with your prayer, it shows you fully come to the obedience of the whole Word of God. See? What is the full obedience? The full obedience to receive the token. Now the next thing you said, well, ask in my name and you receive. So now you're obeying that step. Now it says, you ask not because you have not because you ask not. They say, you ask to consume it upon your lust. So now you've got to come to that point. So, Lord, I don't need it for anything except for your glory. If it can't be used for glory, then I don't want it. So you see, you just keep moving along. When you've got the token, it shows you obeyed every word. Then you and the Word are one. You're only asking for the thing that you are. There's something I wanted to read to you here, but we'll just keep reading if I find it. Now, why you know if I say to this hand, you obey me, reach out for that handkerchief, it does it. Hand obeyed me, why? It's part of me. Then when you and the Word become one, every promise, glory to God, every promise is yours, it obeys you. Then you want to watch what you want to do. Now watch this. You wouldn't put your hand in a fire to see if you can do it. Oh no. But if there is something in that fire I have to reach for, my hand will obey me. That is right. You want to watch what you are doing. That is the reason the Holy Spirit is sparingly given out in end things. Now, if a person wanted the Holy Spirit in order to have an anointed ministry and do signs and wonders, you could get it, but not the baptism. You just get an anointing. And if perchance you did get the baptism because the grace of Almighty God, because you weren't trained properly to ask right. If you really did get the Holy Spirit, you'd swing right around and follow the word treachery. You wouldn't stay in error. There's no way. But you see, Brother Branham in this hour does not put it down to that. He says, starting with that is where you go. And you go all the way with it. Now, you've got to watch what you're doing. And the Holy Spirit sure is given out sparingly. The Holy Spirit is not given to anyone that's not in the election. Let's understand that. It's not foreordained bride. It's elected and predestinated. And what about the other things? He's telling you that's why a lot of prayers aren't answered. The Holy Spirit sparingly will plead and ask for things that you and I can have. If our motive is wrong, it just won't come. James tells us that. You know what I mean? Because a real servant of God doesn't show off with it, you see. That is it. That is making a show. Now, remember I told you the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham he made a show of his gift? I don't understand how that took place. Don't ask me. I got no way to understand that. I thought it was very, very sensible how he did it. But there was something in the other that pleased God. When we pray, we present the token. It shows we have fully obeyed. See? Paul tells us that the blood speaks. Anyone knows the blood actually cannot speak. It's a chemistry. It's chemical. See, is that right? How many know that? How many know that the blood speaks? Put that down, Genesis 4:10. God said, what about your brother? It said, his blood cries in the earth against you. Amen. Is that right? His blood is speaking. Hallelujah. God said, what about him? Cain said, I'm not my brother's keeper. God said, his blood is crying out. His blood is crying out. It is a token. It's a token that he's been killed. His blood is crying out against it. Now, if you go to Genesis 4:10, Hebrews 12:24, the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than that. See, Abel's righteous man. He died. He died innocent because he's in the way. He was in the way standing for the real revelation he had. He spoke it, cried out. The just blood of Abel cried out against Cain. But the blood of Jesus Christ not only cried out, it redeemed us. That's like the throat, see? It speaks better things. It makes you sons and daughters. It hides you from the wrath of God. See, the blood of Abel could not hide Cain, but the blood of Jesus can. Amen. See? So, Cain, come out today. If you've been a persecutor against the word, say, days of marriage have passed, this thing is all nonsense, things like that, it's crying out. The blood of Jesus Christ cries out that he has forgiven us in it, if you'll just accept it. I see, let you know positively, there's no baptism of the Holy Ghost without the blood, no forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that. Which we can say longer, and the blood speaking better things. Flee for safety, then apply. Flee for safety, what is safety? Come under the blood, then apply. Receive the Holy Spirit. Believe. Here is what you want to believe for. You want to believe for your own safety. You believe for safety, and then apply the token for the whole family. What safety is that? The safety from wrath and judgment. Now and forever, or coming down the road. You say, how can I do that? Claim it. If it worked on you, then you and the Word becomes one. Amen, amen. See, it works for both of you. You and the Word are one. Then apply it to your children. Well, what does that mean to apply? How can you apply the blood or apply the Holy Ghost to your children? There's no way you can do it. You don't have it to apply. Nobody can come along and say, I'm going to apply the Holy Ghost to you. What it is, you make room so the Holy Spirit can begin to work through what you are doing and saying. You see? So you believe and you testify. That's part of it. Apply it to your loved ones like Rahab did. Well, how did she do it? That tells you what. She did some works. She made a testimony. And she said, don't you know that those messengers were here, the ones that came out of Egypt when Egypt was destroyed, they came to the Red Sea? And those are the ones that are going to come in and take this land over, just like they took over everything else. Now we've got a chance of being safe. I know I'm safe because I've got a promise. I'm in here where the scarlet thread is, and if you want to come in, I've got a promise that everything's going to be fine. Now that's how she applied it. She did the only thing she could do. She gave what was given to her, which was a verbal commitment that she'd be safe. All right. You apply, Lord, and you say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter, and we'll see how that's done. I'm going after my daughter, claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token. And he said, O Holy Spirit that lives in me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me,
He will do it. Amen. Well, what would be the use of going without the anointing? See? In other words, it is not necessarily you and I giving the testimony that counts, although that's good. It's whether the Holy Spirit is in it. Now, end-time evangelism, this is part of it. If this is part of end-time evangelism, your testimony, what are you going to tell the people? Listen to what you're going to tell them. He just decided it. This is what they did in Egypt. This is what they did in Jericho. Now listen, if you want to read another, Acts 16:31. These are all illustrations of how to apply the token. All at different times. Now watch. Acts 16:31. Paul told the centurion. Now listen, you can't find this in the Bible. Believe I'm the messenger of the hour. Well, you'd have to find it there. You can find that over when he talked to Agrippa. Yes, sir. You can find it different places, but not there. But you don't have to be there. The prophet put it there, so that's great. Then he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou and the house shall be saved. Is that right? Believe for your house. Bring them all under it. Watch. Now you've seen the God of heaven perform a miracle just before judgment. You believed it. See? That's what Paul said to the fellow there, the centurion. He said, yes, what can I do? And Paul says, rise and be baptized. Now, what every word did that man obey or receive in order to put him on the track? Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the Holy Ghost. See? And if you receive the Holy Ghost, then from that time on, every other word becomes light. Now, here we got a prophet saying, I'm the messenger for this hour. Here's where it starts. Now then, I'm going to tell you something. In time of evangelism. See? Because he said, Egypt, Jericho, down where Paul was, and now here. Paul took him up and baptized and said, now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house will be saved. Believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply it to your house? Move all the trash out. Out to cleaned up, sanctified life. Amen. What can you tell anybody that smokes and drinks to come into Christ? You smoke and drink with them. How can you tell this godless age here that brought about the downfall sexually by women taking all their clothes off, men cheering them on, and still had them in your house, all that garbage? What have you got to give them? Nothing. Short-haired women that cut their hair so they could disobey their husband. Not that husbands are worth obeying. In the majority of cases, the men had nothing left to obey. But still didn't have to cut their hair. If they had stayed with their hair long and in that position, God would have given them husbands that they could obey. And the Venus doesn't mean do this, do that, do this, do that. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash I've heard in my life. You know, there's a bunch of idiots running around the country, and I will not qualify as one of them. Stupid I am in certain respects, but not idiotic in this respect. No, I cannot buy the junk that goes around. See, you're going to apply the token? Won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out. All the dance and parties, rock and roll, vulgar newspaper, stuff that is in the world, kick it out of the door. Now, you can't. Now, that's your stand. That's your attitude. He said, I got a son and a daughter. I'm going to just make them knuckle down. You make who knuckle down? See? You make them tone down. There's the limit. Would you be Brother Branham's daughter if the devil was pressed in her house? On a record? Where do you think Becky was going that night, except for some kind of rock and roll? You apply the token doesn't mean that you're going to beat somebody's head and throw out the television set and use a shotgun. Oh, that's a pretty good idea. I guess you said you better be careful. There might be repercussions on that. Just play it cool, kid. Play it cool. Wise as serpent and harmless as doves, not vice versa. Harmless as a serpent and wise as a dove. The dove's a kind of a stupid bird. Albeit it's sweet and kind, sure you can. So we're cleaning up the place around here. You're doing it, but you're not making a forced issue, except where things can be worked out. Like Jacob did, he said, told his wife Alden, wash your clothes. Now here's just step number one. Wash your clothes and everything. Put away those gods. Amen. You know what Joshua said before crossing? He said, wash your clothes, come not at your wives, and so forth. Now don't take that one too literally. Because that was done by a preacher, and he got another guy doing it to end up with his daughter-in-law. And he's a mess right today. If you think this is sexual here for you, after Brother Van's gone 20 years, you're a dopey. You missed it entirely. That command comes into being at some time down the road, that's fine. I don't know one place at this hour. But you're supposed to do it with knowledge and wisdom. All right, 3 days we crossed Jordan. He was getting ready. They were applying the token. Amen, that is it. Get ready, apply it, believe it, clean up. I'm not denigrating Brother Brown has said here. I'm just saying you better watch what things are said here as though you can take and run with some of these things that absolutely are not applying. That they knew within 3 days. And believe me, I believe it would be 3 days before you and I get caught up in the rapture. I think we'll be here about 40 days. There won't be any sex anyway. But it just means don't put it above everything like the world's putting above everything. If you talk to Brother Bannon about this, you'd soon find out that there's sure a lot of different ideas. All right, now I said, get ready, apply it, believe it, clean up. Let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. That is right. In other words, if there's not something in you, this reform is nothing but a reform. It's an accelerated reform in the flesh. It is not something done in the Holy Ghost. Now apply the token in prayer with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love and so forth. You know it is going to take place. That is all. Apply it in confidence. Believe it is going to help. When you talk to that child, when you talk to that husband, talk to your wife, talk to his loved one, believe that it's going to help. And stand there and say, Lord, I claim them, they're mine. I'm getting them for you, Lord. Now, you don't tell them that. That's in your heart. You're talking to God. Now, watch. This will do what? Apply it. Create that atmosphere around you that they will just drop right into it. That's why a church service is a place where most people get saved. Although I've been told by personal workers and those who write the books that more people get saved through personal work than doing a church. But the thing is this. Usually, personal work precedes coming to a church. Where the atmosphere is specially blended, where people's eyes are on the Lord, and they put their cares and things aside, and they're loving the Lord with all their heart. And that creates an atmosphere. It's just like having people that can take teaching. It creates an atmosphere for teaching. And then people coming in will soon get that spirit upon them, where they like the teaching also. If there's a spirit in the church and the preacher is responsible, it's evangelistic. At least I've come to the place where I know the spirit, what spirit's created around here. And I don't ask preachers to everybody become a teacher. I heard a young preacher the other day preaching, and I know he wants every preacher to preach like him. Hogwash. I won't get excited, jump up and down, bat my eyeballs around and everything else. He can do what he wants, but he wouldn't be worth two bits in this church. Unless he toned down. Or we accepted and sent his evangelist and understood what he was doing. But he should try to take everyone and wrap it around his finger and be like him. Well, if I want you like me, hogwash. Forget it. There's an atmosphere that you create, though. Confidence, love, all those things, you've got to create them. You're creating in the church. You're creating in the home. And the person drops into it. If you've got the token, you create a spirit around you, power. When you walk, people know you're Christian. In love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. That's it. See, you're making something there that's vital. See, that now that's applying the token in the real way. Now, you can take out all these things up here, the TV and all these things, if you do this. But I've had a man come to me one time. He's going to be a preacher, he said. He said he really felt that he had a ministry, and he was a real sweet boy and all. And he told me his wife, they were separating, and he was now not living with her. And because he was a very virile type of kid. I got an idea that his wife was quite pretty. And I said, your wife's really pretty. She sure is. I said, and she's well proportioned. Oh, yeah. And I said, your marriage pretty well, then it's a pretty good one sexually. So, yes. But he wasn't touching her. And so I said, what's the trouble? Well, she won't obey me. I said, what do you expect out of obedience? Well, he wanted the TV knocked out of the house. She wasn't that type of person. He wanted the slacks off, and he wanted this, and he wanted that. And the more he got his back up, the more she got her back up, and finally they split. I said, you go back and apologize. I said, you came to the wrong person. You'd come to me first. We might have got this thing straightened out, but you came to the wrong preacher. The old hatchet man. I can be a hatchet man, too. I can be mean as the devil. What good's it going to do? Well, you get the devil's law, which is sin, degradation, and death. Well, last I heard, the guy's back, because he was back with his wife for years, but he's not preaching. He's trying to make a marriage work. I said, look, you tell her, look, honey, don't go up. Now, you wear slacks, it's all right. You've got a TV put in your room. But when we go up together, people know who I am. They know you're my wife, I love you. Now look, if we buy nice clothes, you wear nice clothes, we go together. So you can work things out. But you know, if the people just don't understand, you create an atmosphere. And you create an atmosphere bullhead, you're married to bullhead, you got a bullheaded atmosphere. That's all you got. You got a bullheaded preacher and bullheaded people, you got a bullheaded atmosphere right here. That's the way it's going. Now, if we create an atmosphere of being reasonable and reasoning, we can have it through the whole congregation.
Amen.
See? Remember, it's a true story that says there's not a fight until the second blow is struck.
Amen.
See? A soft answer turneth away wrath. And so you create an atmosphere. In all of this, the Brother Branham says you create atmosphere. You kick out those TVs. Kick out that Christmas tree. Had one himself. Middle of the road. Everything in the middle of the road. Atmosphere. There's nothing in itself that is wrong. It's what you do with it. See, look at God created man and woman in his image and put them in flesh. Nothing wrong with that, but they did wrong. So, you got to watch everything. And then when Brother Brand said, kick out the TV, that's the final test where the family comes together and you're working together because you know that thing is going to be bad for somebody. But to try to strangle somebody into submission, well, it'll work all right, but it's going to be a dead duck. No living dove, you better leave that. You want dead duck or living dove in your house? Well, go ahead. Bite them like a serpent. They'll stiffen right up. Do what you want. I do what I want, you do what you want. Sure we do. Let's do what God wants. Crawford told us this is evening time. Now, you've been listening a long time, now it's evening time. It's applying time now. The wrath will strike one of these days, and it might be too late. It will be too late when it strikes. Apply the token with confidence. Now, that's true. In other words, come full of the Holy Ghost and faith. That's what the scripture said, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. That's what those deacons were. Picked out seven men full of the Holy Ghost and faith. So they did. Oh, I'm set the world on fire. See, if you want to read that, read something here. My scripture wrote down is Ephesians 2 and 12. Let's read Ephesians 2 and 12. He quotes from Hebrews, but it's Ephesians 2 and 12. We want to read that. It's very, very good. All right? That at that time you were without Christ, didn't have the Holy Ghost, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, aliens from the kingdom of God, strangers from the covenants and promises, weren't any good to you, so they stood there, having no hope, the hope was there, without God, that was it, and in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you that were far off were made nigh by the blood. See, the blood brought you to the Holy Ghost put you in. All right. He said, then we don't serve dead works. That's Hebrews 12, Hebrews 9, 11, 14. Oh my, with living works, living signs. You believe in living signs? Put down Hebrews 9, 11, and 14. If you want to put that down, living signs, living works, apply that, not dead deeds. Well, we'll just read Hebrews 11. I beg your pardon, 9, 11, and 14. I don't get finished tonight as usual. So my notes for Sunday will be left over. I'll just finish off tomorrow. 9 to 14, I beg your pardon, 11 to 14. All right, but Christ becoming a high priest of good things to come. Remember, Christ is a high priest of good things. Not bad things, good things that are on the way. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of bulls and, beg your pardon, by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained redemption, eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes and heifers, sprinkling of the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In other words, you don't serve by rote, by works. You serve by Holy Spirit motivation, which is in love, which creates an atmosphere that wants it in the right time, for the right purpose, and just gives itself over. That's possible, see? That's what we're aiming at here, this great family. Like the father and mother, they want to save the children. They'll take food out of their mouth, sleep from their eyes, clothes off their back. Well, what kind of kids would see their parents without any clothes in the back and no food either? They say, no. I tell you what, we're all in this thing together. So the parents show love, the children show love. So therefore, in the body of Christ at this end time, is a great prospect open to our vision with serving God as a family. See? Real love and unity. Now, I'm believing for that, brother, sister. I don't know what you're believing for, but I'm believing for it. Somebody's got to have it. I say, well, I don't think I'm a fit candidate. Who said you were? I'm not either. We're not talking about candidates. We're talking about God's Word. And you take God's Word, you become that promise. You become the living Word of God in your flesh. The Bible, the prophet says so. See? Now, living works, not dead creeds. I'll take my boy, said this woman, over to church. So he said he joined the church. Some fine Christian boy here, a good friend, old buddy, real fella, he came down here baptized. Now, this is a true story. His mother said, I wish he'd gone to a bigger church if you wanted to be baptized. He just didn't want old dead creeds and things. We don't serve dead creeds and dead gods. We serve a living God. His blood was shed back there, and the token has been applied to us that we live also. Amen. Yes, sir. Don't serve some dead creeds that even deny such things the token. You see, now, if you believe those dead creeds and things after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, knowing this hour, now that was okay years ago, but this age, no, you're the flange. You're not a Laodicea. This is the greatest hour of history. See, where Adam and Eve can come back. The Adam and Eve are just, because you're the Son of God. Reach the tree of life, live forever. See, tremendous. And there's great, tremendous in here. No dead creeds there, see. Don't serve dead creeds. Don't believe this church stuff that they teach you. Saying the days of miracles past, and I have the Holy Ghost. No such thing as the baptism. Why join something like that? Don't do that. Apply the token. Well, then what's applying the token there? Actually taking the Holy Spirit as your confidant and head. Not something else. Well, how can he be my confidant head? You saw that, didn't you? You know what that's all about. Take that. Remember old Elijah? He was a pretty good old boy. And he said, I'd like a double portion. And Elijah said, well, if you see me when I'm taken up, you have a double portion. And you have my mantle. So the mantle fell off. And he'd go to your rejoinder. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let's see if there be a God. Well, he said, let's see the Lord God of Elijah. Let's see the Lord God of William Branham. Give me a portion of the Lord God of William Branham. I don't care what's out there in your denomination, any place else. See, you got to identify. You got to identify. See? Look at old Naaman, the time he got healed. Well, he knew there was no God but Israel's God. But he knew the king had him on the spot because he was a big shot general. And the king would lean on his arm when he went to worship old Dagon, the fish faced God. Who would do a lot of fish faced gods around the country? Man alive, there's scores of them, you know. Politics, everything else. And so he said to Elijah, he said, is it all right? He said, if I worship God, will I stand before Dagon? He said, yeah, that'll be okay. He said, why? Because he was identified. Now, I never saw the pillar of fire, but I sure know there's been a pillar of fire. There's a picture of it. I never saw him as judge, but there's a picture of it. I sat there in the room, didn't see anything. I wasn't even interested in seeing something. In fact, I was disinterested and not wanting even to see it. It might put me under obligation. He said, Brother Bill, did you see that pillar of fire? I said, no, Bill, but I see the one that does see it. That takes care of it. Amen. I don't worry about it. He said, so I believe it. I know he never saw him see it yet. I don't know that I'm just that good about all the things in the Word here, but by the grace of God, it'll come. Apply the token. Then serve the living God for living works, living signs. Signs that heal the sick, raise the dead, foretell things, speak in tongues, interpret every time perfectly right, prophesy, say this, such things happen, will show signs in heaven above and earth. Now we're hitting the prophet now. We're hitting just a little bit, I think, out of you and me. But 90% covers you and me. Sure. Speaking exactly what the Bible said to take place. Serve the living God. Apply the token. In other words, look, we're actually living and saying the things that's in the Bible by a living God. And if it's by a living God and we're supposed to be His creatures, then it's going to live through us. See, because that's what He desires. Don't go to those churches, join those old dead works and things like that, because they don't even believe in such things as signs. But we who believe, amen, know. They say there's no such thing as a sign. Well, they feel that's nonsense, what they talk about. That's crazy. Why no such thing? Why do all you women wear your dress? Where you have your hair? Well, the Bible says so. That is just the difference. Touch not, handle not, taste not. He is God. Now, it does mean something. Now, listen. They think it is crazy, but to us who believe and know the truth, we know it is His living presence, for it does the same thing He did when He was here on earth. Amen. So you can see He's talking about His own ministry nearly all the way through. Then what is applying the token? It's starting with this hour. See? Here's been the answer to evolution, everything else. Oh, they say, they just imagine they see the pillar of fire. Oh, no. You don't imagine things. They thought Paul imagined it too. The Egyptians thought Israel imagined, but it took them the promised land. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, what's going to take us there? The pure farm. Christ. Now, listen to what he says. Hebrews 13:8. You know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're putting that down. That he is the same. They say it's some imagination. What's he talking about, Hebrews 13:8? Pillar of fire. There it is. Jehovah in a pillar of fire was in the flesh. Is back to pillar of fire. Well, later on, I got some good quotes on that about the body. One good quote. You don't need many of them. When I wrote the scripture, I wrote down here. I know where the scriptures are. That is how I go to do it. Now listen. Knowing it is his living presence, for he does the same in this spirit. Now, if it had gone off into some creed or denomination, we would know right quick it wasn't Christ. Is that right? What's he trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you, look, before anything was ever said, there was vindication. Just like Elijah said, if Baal is God, serve him. If God is God, serve him. Let's find out. There was no bandying of words and bringing up the Ten Commandments, talking about dear old Moses and their dear old history and the dear old this and the dear old that. He wasn't interested and he cared less. He said, let's find out. And boy, when they found out there was bloodshed, 400 prophets got their heads chopped off good and quick. Now, we're not doing that. But the word in the bride, when she's going to get out of here, and she getting out of here by that word, that same word's going to come back and destroy all this stuff that's on earth, neither root nor branch. See? Yes, sir. Now, listen. He said, knowing his living presence, for he does the same things in this spirit. Now, if it had gone off some creed and domination, we know right quick it wasn't Christ. Is that right? If I led you to some creed or something or another, I'd be sent from some denomination. But I'm not bringing you creeds. I'm teaching you and teaching you denominational truths or so-called doctrines. I'm teaching you the Word of God, which is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ manifested, not only for me, but whosoever will. That is Ephesians 1:17-23. That spirit with revelation brings on the resurrection. Shout, voice, trumpet. Because in 23, it's the rapture. It's caught up. My, that's just as clear as ABC. Then you are my brother. I'm not a great person. I'm a little person. We're all little persons in God. We are his little children. We know nothing. Well, we really ought to know. He lets us know as he will. Well, how could you know but for the token? As soon as you get the token, you know it all. No, you're placed in a position to know what you need to know and no error. The flange is down. If nothing gets in you, you're sealed. Nothing gets in the bride, so there's going to be a rapture. See? Back in the garden, there were two people who wanted to reach forth their hand. Now today, there's two who want to reach forth their hand. One has already done it. One is Jesus the Christ. Now we're the bride. We're waiting to stretch forth our hand. Our Adam has stretched forth his hand. He's immortal. We're waiting to stretch forth our hand and become immortal. See? But since we're in him as one, bride and groom as one, we're going to get our immortality. No, there's no two ways about it, but somebody's going to get it. If you and I don't, there's somebody's going to get it. That's for sure. You just can't bypass this and believe in God. We're all little persons, you see. He lets us know as he will. And we are thankful to him for what we do know of his blessing. Now, they couldn't know this and this except this hour. They couldn't know it except right up here. See? Couldn't know it. Now, and I don't share this by myself. I want to share it with you. Now, see, there's God and his prophet. That's how it started. Then he comes to the bride. And as he shares, it comes to the bride. This is part of the seal. It's after 1963. I want you into it. I want you to receive this token. And if you haven't done it, many of you, most of you have already done so. But if you haven't done it, see, I'm talking on the tape, too, you understand. And many of you, and I don't say here in the church, we're all come out, I suppose, but here, there may be thousands and thousands hear the tape. It is my ministry. There will be somebody slipping to Jericho, you know, with the tape. So we want you. We ought to catch that first, that predestinated seed when it goes in there, see, because the wrath is coming. Know that it is the presence of the living God. Not present of William Branham, and not the presence of a bride, and not the living God in the bride. Little tiny bit each. It's the presence of God. See? Not the God that's in Africa and all over Europe. It's where that pillar of fire is right now. Where is he? I don't know. He's got to be somewhere. He didn't go away. He's in the dimension here. No, no, I want you to know it's the presence of the living God. And it proves that God has raised him up according to his promised word. A little while the world sees me no more. Jared to Egypt. They'll see me no more. Same as this world. Yet you see me. There it is. For I, the personal pronoun, always referred to, I see, be with you. I am the token. My resurrection is the token. Sure. The works that I do will identify you, will identify me and you, or that prophet. You can't get away from that. See? Now listen, prove it here. As it was in the days of Lot, it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the evening message goes forth. For it shall be light about the evening time. Just about the evening time, the light would come. Would come on. Glory to God. Makes me feel like I could run through a troop and jump and leap over a wall. It shall be light about the evening time. That is right. The prophet said so. And I'll be with you. Now watch. I'll be in the Lutheran age. I'll be in the Western age. I'll be in the Pentecostal age. But it right at the evening time, it will come light. The denominations fade away. Then the token will be applied. Now if he was there before, why wasn't he applied? He was. But not like now. Because only that little life was there. See down here. A bit. Now, he's come down. All around. Don't tell me he didn't. Papa said so. See? Now, Pentecostal age. But right being time, it'll be like domination fade away. And all these that are honest in heart, down through that. That's that bunch. Pentecost, Luther, Wesley. Without you, they won't be made perfect, but in you. It is like the head has to take the foot. The head has to take the hand. The head has to take the heart. Head take the mouth. The head has to go to the end time. In other words, the head. Take everything that's down here. Take everything. Got to come. Take it all. See? Where is he coming to? He's not going to where the dead are. Come to the bride here. By the Holy Spirit. Not physical now. Not physical. Don't ever think that. Now, we're at the end time where the token was applied on the lintel of the door. Just to see, we're at the end time where the token was applied on the lintel of the door. And on the post. It's right to the lintel now. The whole circle. When I see the blood being a token, I'll pass over you. When I see up here, where this point is, that's the time of the sealing in. That's the time of the ministry, the identification, the whole thing. Now, very quick now, he said, just 5 or 10 minutes, proves that God raised him up from the dead. You believe it? He is living amongst us today. That I is Christ, and that I is with us to the end of the consummation, which means the end of the world. End of the world. According to his promised word, he promised it. And the works that I do shall you do also. Now, brother, sister, that is Matthew 4 and Matthew 12. That is not you and I. That is the singular and the prophet. We know that. It is not nonsense to us. It is the token. That's John 14:12. It is the token. We accept this sacrificial blood. We accept his sacrificial blood. Then it gives us the life, the token, a seed of his promise. Ephesians 4:30 said, grieve not the blood. No, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Whereby your covenant put away, seal, so on. Covenant, you are a token. The Holy Spirit will be the seal. When anything is sealed inside of a seal, you better not break it. Can't break it. Not God's seal. No. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption, when the body's raised up. In other words, he's saying now with the hymn here, this end time hour, it's more important not to grieve the Holy Spirit than ever, is to not come against it, not deny the presence and power of Almighty God, and be sure to create the atmosphere. Be obedient, yielding. It is a seed of sign that the seed has been germinized with eternal life growing. My own life, and I'll raise up again the last day. See? Proving that life that was brought here has come to full fruition. We're right back to the place where what went in the ground has proven it's come back in this hour, which is the very manifestation that God manifested when he was here in human flesh has come right back to a perfect manifestation of this hour, proving he is here. Proving he's here what for? For headship. For the word, to bring forth the bride. As you walk, you have confidence that the life of Christ is in you, and you are in him. Why? Because you're identified with the proof. You don't do that by tongues. You don't do that by sensation. You do it by something that's entirely outside of you, period. You saw it. You know it. You know all about it. You say, that is what I want. You are right back where it was at Pentecost. What must I do? Repent. Which is the first thing this age has got to do, because the message is repent. Change your mind. Get away from it. See? Come right into it. From that time on, there's going to be a drying out, a maturing, right back to the original. By one Spirit baptized one body, and sealed there by the Holy Ghost. Now watch. Baptized into one body and sealed there by the Holy Ghost. Not just an individual infilling now, but the actual one himself. See, now if he's taking headship now, you tell me how the devil can break into headship. See, tell me how he can break in anywhere in here. Seven seals, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. See, there it is. Sure, there's silence in heaven because he came down here on earth.
Amen.
That's what we're looking at. It's all over at the end time. Now you have confidence. Oh my, apply the token. Let's receive it. Let it have its way with you. That is what it means to us. We expect the sacrifice to give us life, and it does. Then it gives us the token. We apply the token, which is the seal. What a great thing it is, being partakers, baptized by this one Spirit, into this mystical body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ. Did I say that right? I guess he said mythical body of Christ to begin with. Yeah, he said mythical, and I wrote up mystical there. Mythical body. Did I say that right? No, mystical. Mystic body, mystic. See, the Holy Spirit said, you're saying that wrong, a dummy like me, but he said, you're saying that wrong. I caught him. Mythical, but it's a mystic body of Christ, a mystical body of Christ, Jesus. We don't need education, we need the Holy Ghost. He is one. He's the one. That might stumble somebody somewhere, some educator. Now, I hope he gets it right. The mystic body, will be right. It will be for something, because he wouldn't have said that. He is right here now. He is right here at the pulpit. It doesn't say in the pulpit. Now, if he was just talking about the Holy Ghost in him, he could actually say he's in me in the pulpit. He is right out there. And then he said he's right out there. In other words, he's right before him. This is he. And in him is no death. In him is no sorrow. In him is no worry. And no sickness. No sin. No death. And we are in him. That's enough for tonight. We're right at the end of the line. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking you for grace and mercy, Lord. For the rest of this service, we go into, Lord, which is a communion, fellowship, Lord, around the emblems, fellowship with each other, now knowing we're one big family, Lord. Surely we are, because we've got one blood, we've got one life, and if that doesn't make one family, I don't know what does. Now, Lord, may it be that we begin to realize this and hold our hearts out and our minds out to it through repentance by the help of the Holy Ghost, and he certainly gives us help, that we will recognize our position as one family and begin to live it. And we know, Lord, we don't know, Lord, at this point what it all means, but we know one thing it does mean. It's going from grace to grace and glory to glory, and it's going to be a never-ending thing. So, Father, may we all be one. Let all our lives just be open with each other in love and kindness as a real family of God, which we are. Praying, Lord, that we might be witnesses unto you. We might be examples unto the people. As the prophet said, a minister to ministers, a brother to brother, brother to sister, right on down the line, a help to the helper, whatever is necessary, to the needy, Lord, whatever is necessary, that we would be that. We cannot be all things in the sense of being chameleons, but we can be all things to all men in the sense of Christ, because all things are...